Amen.
Let me ask you this. Can you turn with me to the book of Philippians? Let's go there first. As we believe, amen, that God's going to speak from heaven and share something with us today that we need to hear. Amen. Amen. Praise God. But Philippians chapter, I'm going to ask you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. Amen. Philippians chapter 2. And I'm going to ask you to look with me at verse number 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. You have to say amen.
Amen.
Okay, I'll wait a little while. I heard one person has it. So.
Amen.
All right. We're getting there. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to look at it together. Verse number 5. God is good. Amen. So Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, King James Version reads this way. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray over the word. Father, we thank you now for the word that has been read into our hearing. We thank you, God, that your words, oh God, are spirit and they are life. We're praying today, God, that you will just give us revelation on your word today. That, Father God, that you will fill our hearts with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. That, Father God, that you will speak to our very situations. God, you know where we are, each and every one of us.
Yes.
Father, I pray now that you will speak to every person in here, oh God. Give answers, give guidance,
yes,
give direction, give correction even, oh God. But, Father, most of all, you be glorified in the midst. Father, we thank you right now for what you're about to do. We thank you, God, for the deposits that you're about to make and for the withdrawals, oh God. Even those things that you're going to take from us, oh God, that are not of you. And Father God, we willingly bow down before you now and ask you to have your blessed way. Father, I ask you now, as you bless your people, that God, you bless me as well. I humble myself under your hand. I decrease, God. May you increase, that everything that goes on in this place, every word that is spoken, Father God, you will be exalted. You will be praised, for you alone are worthy. Father, we thank you now. Hallelujah. We believe great things are going to be done. We call it done by faith, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We just read Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And we're going to be speaking from the title of Do It Anyway. Amen.
Yeah.
Do it anyway. And not any way as in doesn't matter how you do it. Do it even if you don't feel like doing it. Do it anyway. God spoke to us on last week, amen, and you know, he told us it's our time to shine, right? It's our time to shine. And you've been feeling as if you're coming into a new time in your life, then, you know, you've been walking with God, being obedient unto God. See, God's always working. And so you should have a sense that God's doing some things in your life and not be afraid to even declare it, amen, that this is now my time. And, you know, we made the distinction, you know, from, you know, in speaking last week in the book of Ecclesiastes, where it says that, you know, to everything or for everything, there is a season.
Right.
But there's a time for every purpose under the sun. And we know that people get excited when you tell them that it's their season. And I believe that's because when they think it's their season, they think about things, right? But we're not talking about season, we're talking about time.
Yeah.
And time and purpose are linked, right? Jesus never talked about him coming into his season. He never said, my season has not yet come. He never said, my season has come. He spoke in terms of time. He said, my hour has not yet come. And then in a different place, he said, my hour is come. And when we looked last week, we saw a couple of things. That in John chapter 17, verse 1, Jesus said, my hour is come. And then he said, glorify your son that he may glorify you. Right? Glorify your son that he may glorify you. And we looked at that and said, listen, Jesus is our example. And when we come to God, we can't come to God with some meekness. When I say meekness, I mean some like false modesty type stuff. You know what I mean? I come like, oh, I'm so poor. No, no, no. God says we're supposed to come before the throne of grace with boldness. Mm-hmm. Right? The Bible tells us that the righteous are as bold as lions. And so we are the righteousness of God. And so we ought to come boldly before God. And we don't come boldly in our own strength. We come boldly based on the word of God and the example that Jesus sets for us. And just as Jesus said his hour was coming, his hour had come to do the greatest thing in all the earth, right? He came to die for the sins of mankind. He came to die that you and I might live. And no one else is ever going to do that, right? Jesus died once for all. Mm-hmm. And so we understand that Jesus has a name, as the scripture says here, that is above every name, right? Because of what he did on Calvary's cross. And so no one is trying to put themselves on the line with Jesus. God forbid, amen. We understand that he's our Lord and we are his servants, amen. We are his people. But I do want to suggest to you that he yet sets an example for us to follow. And if Jesus prays that his hour has come, and then he prays, Lord, glorify your son. And then he said that I may glorify you. We can pray as Jesus prayed. If you believe that this is your time, that God is moving in your life and this is your time, then you should pray that God glorifies you. Now that's going to mess some people up. I don't deserve to be glorified. Listen. God needs to shine his glory in your life if you are going to give him glory in the earth. How can you glorify God unless you receive the glory of God in your life? And the glory of God is the revealed goodness of the Lord. Right? How many of you have had God reveal his goodness in your life?
Amen.
And you need God to reveal the goodness in your life if you're going to go forward and do good things in the earth. And so when we understand from a spirit of humility that when I ask God to glorify me, when you ask God to glorify you, it's not so that you can become a movie star. It's so that you now can take what he gives you, use it according to his will, and bring him glory in the earth.
Amen.
Jesus said, glorify me that I may glorify you back. Right? Not glorify me so that I can be a star. You don't want to be glorified so you can be a star. You want to be filled with the glory of God. You want the glory of God to touch your life. You want the glory of God to overflow in your life. You want the goodness of God to be evident in your life so that you can go forward and do something that when people look at what you do, they go, glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Glory to God. You want to operate in the power of God so that people say, glory to God.
Yes.
Right? You want to preach and teach and sing and bake a cake and do whatever it is that you do. Amen. That people say, man, this is something else. You want to make that macaroni and cheese. People say, man, this macaroni and cheese is good. And you go, glory to God.
Amen.
Whether it's big or small, you understand. You want God to operate in your life so that people will glorify him. Scripture says here today, amen, that it says, let this mind be in you. What mind? The mind that Jesus had. And look at the mind that Jesus had. Jesus, it said, he was in the form of God, but he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He didn't think, amen, that, you know, he didn't have what a lot of people have today, which is a sense of entitlement. Some people have a sense of entitlement. You know, they get to a certain stage in their life, and they believe people are supposed to treat them a certain way. Mm-hmm. They believe, amen, that maybe they come from a certain family, they come from a certain side of the tracks, and they're supposed to be treated a certain way out in public. Or, you know, some students go to class, and they think, you know, they're supposed to get an A, or they're supposed to get good grades. You know, if people have a sense of entitlement, like, I'm supposed to get some stuff. I'm here. I'm supposed to get some stuff. Jesus didn't have a sense of entitlement. He was equal with God, but yet he was perfectly willing to let go of his heavenly estate. He didn't have a sense of entitlement. And it says he made himself of no reputation, took upon him a form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. He didn't care about position. How many of you know that your position doesn't matter?
That's right.
It's not your position that matters. It's more about your character. It's more about your integrity. You know what I mean? You can be the president. You can be the office manager. You can be the business owner. You can be the pastor. You can be the first lady. But if you don't have any integrity, I'm telling you now, your title doesn't matter.
Right.
Right? And some people who don't have titles are doing more things in the earth than people who do have titles. God's not impressed by a title. Amen?
Right.
And so we shouldn't be impressed by a title. Right? So Jesus wasn't trying to make himself of a reputation. He wasn't looking to be at a certain... But he made himself a servant, took upon him the form of a man. And then it says he did something even after that. He then humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So here Jesus, no sense of entitlement, doesn't care about position, and then he walks in a humble obedience to what God wants him to do. How many of you know that humility, amen, is not acting as if you're not all that much. The Bible says don't think more highly of yourself than you ought.
That's right.
It doesn't say you shouldn't think highly of yourself. It just said don't get carried away with it. Come on, somebody. If you don't think highly of yourself, listen, God has saved you. Glory to God. If God saved you, if God died for you, you should feel good about that. You should feel good that he counted you worthy. And if he says, I put my spirit in you, then you know something, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we know that God is excellent, his name is excellent, his greatness is excellent, right? Psalm 150 says it's excellent. We praise him according to his excellent greatness. Mm-hmm. Well, if God is great and God is filled with excellence and his spirit is now in you and in me, then guess what? That excellence and greatness are on the inside of us.
Yes, yes.
How many of you know that?
That's right.
Amen. Greatness and excellence are on the inside of you. And so you should have a healthy self-esteem. Not because of who you are, but because of what God has done in your life. And so, listen, we need to think well of ourselves.
That's right.
There's some people who aren't going to think well of you. And what's going to allow you to keep going anyway is because you have a healthy self-esteem. Don't let somebody put you down telling you you're not this and you're not that. If God himself dwells on the inside of you, I'm telling you, if God himself dwells on the inside of you, then you are somebody. I'm telling you that if God himself dwells on the inside of you, then greatness and excellence are on the inside of you. Goodness is on the inside of you. Power is on the inside
yes,
of you.
Yes.
The ability to do all things through Christ who strengthens you is on the inside of you.
That's right, that's right.
So God has called us to shine. It's your time to shine. It's your time to shine. And here's the thing I want to suggest to you. If we're going to be obedient unto God and humble ourselves unto God, then we're going to do his will. It's going to be found in his word. And here's the thing I want to suggest to you. You have in you, amen, and it's your destiny to do great things in the earth. Amen. Now, I don't know what that means. That doesn't necessarily mean you might be on television or all that. But if you're doing something for God, how many of you know it's a great work?
That's right.
When Nehemiah was building the wall and they tried to get him to come down, he said, why should I leave off this great work and come down to you? Mm-hmm. When you're doing something for God, it's a great work.
Thank you, Jesus.
So it doesn't matter whether somebody snaps your picture or posts you on social media or blows you up here, there, or anywhere. If you're doing it for God, it's a great work. But here's the thing we have to get into our spirit and our mind. I'm here to do something great in the earth.
Yes.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. I'm here to do something great in the earth. But, oh, glory to God. Hold on. Can we do this? Can we turn to Daniel for a second? The book of Daniel, chapter 11. Praise God for this. The book of Daniel, chapter 11. Glory to God. Everybody in here under the sound of my voice, you're on the pathway to greatness.
Yes, amen.
You're on the pathway to greatness. Amen. But in Daniel chapter 11, I'm just going to read verse number 32. Daniel chapter 11. It says, amen. It says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. What I want to focus on is the second part. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Amen. The people that do know their God shall what? Shall be strong and do exploits. So if 32. So if you know God, then understand something. First of all, according to this scripture, if you do know your God, you're strong. Stop letting people tell you, and here's even, don't even tell yourself that you're weak. Don't think that you can't. Don't think that you don't have the ability. If you know God, you're strong.
That's right.
Amen. If you know God, then His Spirit dwells on the inside of you. And the Bible says that you shall receive power.
Yes.
After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And so if God lives on the inside of you, you have power on the inside of you. The Bible says we can do all things through Christ who does what? Strengthens us. So we're strong, we're powerful, we're mighty, not in ourselves, but because we know God. There's nothing you can't do in Christ. That makes me excited.
Hallelujah.
There's nothing I can't do. And so, especially for young people, don't let nobody tell you you can't do something. You can do anything through Christ. And all you old folk, amen, you're not too old. Because if we know God, first and foremost, we're strong. Amen? We are strong. And then it says, if we know our God, we will do exploits. Do you know what exploits are? Exploits are great achievements.
Yes. Hmm?
They're daring achievements. They're bold accomplishments.
Mm.
This is not, see, God, people who know God don't do ordinary things because we don't serve an ordinary God.
That's right.
And so if we serve an extraordinary God, then please understand if He's at work in our lives, then we are destined to do extraordinary things.
Oh, God.
We're to do exploits. Great things. And the reason why I wanted to stop here is so that you can see God says it. It's not the preacher just simply saying unto you, you're going to do great things and try to make you feel good about yourself. I have no interest in that. The only thing I'm interested in is the truth. Amen.
Amen.
And the word of God is true. And yes. So see it for yourself that if you know your God, you're strong and you're going to do great things in the earth.
That's
what the word says. Not the preacher. That's what the God of heaven says. I'm just agreeing with it. Amen. I'm just agreeing with it that we're going to do great things. But I want to say this. If we're going to do great things, then it goes back to what we're saying in Philippians. We have to be of a certain mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We can't be caught up on thinking we're entitled to certain things. We can't be governed and motivated by position. And we have to walk in a humble obedience unto God. Because it was after that, after Jesus made himself of no reputation, after he took upon him the form of a servant and was found in likeness of man, after he became obedient even unto the death of the cross and humbled himself, it was after that that God did something, that God highly exalted him.
Mm-hmm.
right? So it was after all those things that Jesus then becomes highly exalted. And I want to say to you that if you and I are going to do the great things that God has called us to do, we're not getting to that high place in some different way than Jesus did.
Okay.
We're going to have to do it the same way. We're going to have to come the same way. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, turn with me to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17. In fact, glory to God. Can we go to Matthew 3 first? Let's go to Matthew 3 first. We'll come back to Matthew 17 fast. Let's go to Matthew 3 first. Let's look at verse 13. It says there, it says, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John, and he baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he, John, suffered or allowed Jesus. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus came, John the Baptist was baptizing people, right? John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ, and he went forward calling people to repentance, right? And calling on them to be baptized. And John had this wonderful ministry, right, where he was baptizing people all over the place. And it was part of the repentance, that people were repenting for their sin. And here Jesus comes and says to John, baptize me. And John said, I'm not baptizing you, man. I have need to be baptized of you. And Jesus said, allow it anyway. Do it to me anyway. And don't you know that Jesus, there was no need for Jesus to repent of anything. Right? Jesus, right, he's without sin. Right? He's without sin. He was tempted as we were, yet without sin. Jesus never sinned. So Jesus had no need for repentance, and Jesus had no need to be baptized. But he came and he said to John, baptize me anyway. See, there's no sense of entitlement. There's no sense of pulling rank in Jesus. Do you see it? There's no sense of, I know who I am, and you need to get behind me. The only one Jesus told get behind me was Satan.
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, you have, he said, do it anyway. You see, because Jesus was determined to do something. Jesus was determined to identify with those whom he was going to redeem. Aren't you glad about it?
Amen.
That Jesus made sure, I'm going to identify with those who I'm going to redeem. He said, look, I come to redeem the earth. I come to redeem my people. I come to redeem Jews and Gentiles. And as far as him dealing with the Jewish people, he said, I'm going to identify with the things that you do. Mm-hmm. You're getting baptized, I'm going to get baptized. He didn't have to do it. How many of you know that?
Right.
He didn't have to do that, but he did it anyway. And see, that's why we can say gladly that we don't have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities.
Right.
See, because he came to identify with us. He cried, right? Jesus wept. Why? Because we cried too. Jesus was betrayed. Jesus went through all kinds of things that we go through so that when now, when we have to call upon him, we don't call upon him as a God who doesn't quite understand, as a God who hasn't gone through anything that we've gone through and more, Jesus went through.
Amen.
And so he came and he said, John, baptize me even though I don't have need to repent. I'm not going to pull rank on you, John, and tell you, you need for me to baptize you. John said that because it was the truth. But Jesus said, I'm not even going to do that. He said, allow it anyway.
That's right.
Do it to me anyway. Now, when I was going to ask you to turn to Matthew chapter 17, there, Jesus has come. he comes into the house, and the Jewish, and the Pharisees, and the Jews are outside, and they say to Peter, "Does your master pay the temple tax?" You remember that? "Does your master pay the temple tax?" And Peter said, "Yep, he pays it." And then Peter comes into the house, and he's about to say something. The scripture said Jesus prevented him. He like he stopped him from what he's going to say. And he said to Peter, "Peter, let me ask you something." He says, "Does the king's children have to pay temple tax? Do they have to pay tax, or are they free? And who has to pay? Those who are conquered, or the children?" And Peter said, "Only those who are conquered have to pay the tax." And Jesus said, "Well, then the children are free." But then he said this: "Nevertheless, so that we don't offend them."
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are you saying? I don't have to pay the tax.
Yeah.
Right. I don't have to pay the tax. Right. It's a temple tax. And I'm the Lord and the King and the owner of the temple. I don't have to pay that.
Mm-hmm.
Ha. He said, the children are free. But then he said, "Nevertheless, so that we don't offend them."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Go down to the lake, cast in a line. And the first fish that you take," I don't need you to be fishing all day, Peter. "The first fish that you take, open up his mouth. There's going to be a piece of money in there. Take that piece of money and pay your tax and mine."
Come on.
No, that lets me know something. First of all, if you really look at that story, what that story says to me was Peter talked out of turn.
Yeah.
Because they said, "Peter, does your master pay the tax?" Yeah, he pays that. You ever do that? That you say the answer that you're supposed to give? Oh, yeah, I do that. You know it ain't true when you said it, but you're just going to say it anyway. Yeah. You did your homework? I did my homework.
Yeah, I did my homework.
Did I mention my homework? Wait, but where's my homework? Does he pay the tax? Yeah, he pays the tax. And then he comes into the house and going to ask you, "Jesus, do you?" He says, "Listen, Peter, I'm not
interested."
He said, "Listen." And so he asked him the question, "Who's supposed to pay the tax?" And he said, "Well, I'm not supposed to pay the tax. But I don't want them to be offended." But then he tells them, "Listen, go forward and go and cast the line in and take the first fish. And open his mouth and take out the money." And he said, "Pay your tax and mine." Know what that said? Peter didn't pay his tax either. Amen? Because if Peter had paid his tax, there'd be no need for that coin to cover both their taxes.
Yeah.
Peter didn't pay his taxes yet either. But here's the thing we want to take away from this, at least for this purpose, because there's a lot we can say about that. Jesus didn't have to pay the tax. Huh? He didn't have to pay the tax. But he was more concerned about people being offended. About someone getting their nose bent out of joint. About someone getting upset at him for not doing something that he was under no obligation to do. And so what he did was he said, "I'm going to do it anyway. Not because I have to, but just so that you don't have your nose out of joint. I'm going to do it anyway, just so you don't get all messed up in the face. I'm going to do it anyway, so that you don't get off track. Just go pay your taxes." And I suggest to you that that's our example. See, on your way to greatness, and we're on our way to greatness, amen? On our way to greatness, as you embrace what God is saying unto us, is our time to shine. Is our time to come out of the shadows and come forward. Glory to God. It's somebody's time to do something great. Amen. Amen. You've been in the background long enough. You've been in obscurity long enough. Nobody really known your name. Nobody even knows you've been there. But God said, "I'm about to change that thing." But on your way to the front, on your way to doing great things in the earth, don't get caught up in who you think you are or who other people want to tell you you are. You continue to follow the example of Jesus. And so what that means then is that on your way to greatness, there are going to be some things that you could, oh, glory to God, to whom much is given, much is required. Fine, do the required things. But here's where greatness is. When you do the things that's not required of you.
My God.
See, doing what's required of you is obedience. Right? You're required to do it. I obey. But doing the things that you don't have to do is humility. Right? It's because you are humbling yourself and doing things so that God can be glorified. You are humbling yourself and doing things so that other people don't get messed up. And I'm telling you right now, there are a whole lot of people who will say, well, you just going to have to be mad then. You ever said that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell the truth, shame the devil. You know you said it. There have been times where somebody got mad at you and you shrugged your shoulder. Well, you just going to have to be mad then.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't here for you.
Yeah.
How many of you? Amen. You just going to have to be mad then. You just going to have to get over it. We see Jesus doing that. Jesus could have said, I ain't paying no tax, but they're going to be mad. They're just going to have to be mad then. Jesus didn't say that. He said, go pay the tax so that they don't be mad then.
My God.
I don't have to do it. John, I don't have to be baptized of you, but do it anyway. I don't have to pay the tax, Peter, but I'm going to pay it anyway. Why? Because that is what great people do. They don't just simply do the things that are asked of them, demanded of them, required of them. They do stuff they don't have to do.
Wow.
So if you want to be great, amen, we got to have that same mind, Jesus, that there's some things you're going to have to do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you come into the place, you got your suit on, you got your dress on, you got your Bible on the thing, you the speaker for the night. And you come into the place and the church ain't set up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, you just came in to preach. You've been fasting and praying, and you know, you have a word from the Lord. L-A-W-D. You got a good word, Lord. I got a word from the Lord. But the place ain't set up. And you go over there and sit down while everybody else set up the church, because that ain't what you're supposed to do. I suggest to you, you need to get up and help them set up the church.
My God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
It's time to clean up. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And you on your way home. No, you know what? Help move some chairs. Help sweep a floor. Who are you? Amen.
My God.
Servant's not greater than his Lord. Do it anyway. Yes, there's some things you don't have to do. And here's the thing. Know what you don't have to do most of all? You don't have to put up with people. Put up with them anyway. Amen. There's some people you don't have to put up with. Put up with them anyway. Do it anyway. Show that you're great. Greatness doesn't mean that you stand up there and you think and you got people fawning over you. Your greatness is shown in you following the example of the Lord. Now watch this. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. What a mighty God we serve. Mark chapter 9. And what's really interesting about Mark chapter 9 is that this happens around the same time that what we were talking about that was going on in Matthew 17 when Jesus came to Capernaum. But he comes into Capernaum, and with Mark chapter 9, verse 33. He comes into Capernaum, he comes into the house, and he says to his disciples, he said, what were you guys out there talking about when you were coming in? And I'm paraphrasing, right? What were you out there talking about? And in verse 34, it said they held their peace. Because they were out there disputing among themselves, but who should be the greatest? I laugh because we're going to look at the sons of Zebedee in a minute, because they also wanted to be great, didn't they? And we get all pious, and we get all like, look at them, they want to be great. But I want you to understand something. Jesus never criticized them for wanting to be great. He just criticized them for not knowing what they were asking for, because they thought they wanted to be on his right hand and his left. He didn't say you shouldn't be great. You should be just some menial person. You should just be some obscure person. Who do you think you? He didn't put them down like that. He just said you don't quite know what you're asking for. But left and right, whoo, that really takes some stuff. But greatness is not something that offends. Amen. So here they're disputing among themselves who should be great. And he sits down, he calls the 12, and he says in verse 35, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. You see that?
Yep.
The same shall be what? Last of all and servant of all. The Lord makes me laugh because he reminded me just now of how we are. That this last of all thing, we got some work to do here. Because I'm telling you that sometimes you get mad at somebody jump you and you become second in line. Much less last. Let somebody be a let you be a DMV and somebody get in front of you and you second in line and you still mad. Glory to God. He said, though, that we should be last of all and servant of all. Now, keep that in mind as we turn to Luke 22. Because here Jesus expounds on this a little bit more in Luke 22, verse number 24. They're coming in, and it says in verse 24 that there was strife among them who should be accounted the greatest. And Jesus said, the kings of the Gentiles exhort lordship over them. You see what he says? The king of the Gentiles. They exhort lordship. What he's saying, the way the world works is that those who are in power, those who are in a position of authority, they make sure everybody knows it. Mm-hmm. He said, that's how the world works. The kings of the Gentiles. I'm the boss in here. You do what I say. I'm your father. This is my house. See, that gets us all in trouble. Because I don't know if there's a parent in the earth that hasn't at one point declared that their name is on the deed. Yeah. This is my house. Sometimes you tell your kids to stop running, and then other times you tell them to stop running
in
my house. There's a difference between those two things.
Yeah.
Stop running is one thing. Stop running in my house. It's taking it to another level. It's exerting lordship over other people.
Mm.
Right? That you have to pull rank. He said, that's how the world works. How many of you know that's not how we're supposed to work?
Yeah.
Right? You can be in authority, but you don't have to now rule with an iron fist. Right? So he says, the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that does serve. But then he asked a question. He said, who is great? The one who sits at meat, or the one who sits at the table, or the one who serves? And then he answers the question, is not he that sits at the table the greater one? But then he says, but I am among you as he that does what? Serve. I don't have to do it, but I do it anyway. I'm the greatest one in this joint, but I'm still serving you. I'm the greatest one in this joint, but I'm the one who, after the Last Supper, am putting a towel around my waist and washing your feet. Right? I'm the greatest one, but yet this is what I do. And he said, I do this as an example for you to follow. And so what are we saying here? A couple of things that seem not to go in place, right? Because we're talking about doing some things you don't have to do, even if it's some things that are lowly, menial, right? But I will tell you this. I was with someone this week, and I said something to them because we were having lunch, and you know, someone came and they took our tray and took it away, and he said, "Thank you very much for the thank you." And it wasn't the first time I've seen him doing that. People pour water. And I said, you know what I appreciate about you? That the way you treat people who can't do anything for you. Now, don't get me wrong, we all can do something for each other. But see, the way you treat the guy who can give you the job or the woman who can give you the job is one thing. The way you treat the person who empties your wastebasket, see, that's something different, right? The doorman, how do you treat the doorman, the security guard? How do you treat the people who you think, right, you don't want anything from them because they can't give you a job, they can't give you a loan, they can't give you any money, right? But see, if you think you can get something from me and you treat me all nice, that says nothing.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
But how do you treat people who can't do anything for you?
Right.
That shows what your character is about. And so here, fine. If I'm going to serve you because I think I can get something from you, that's one thing. But if I do something knowing that you really can't do anything for me, and I'm not saying that in a superior way, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that there are certain things, right? That, you know, certain people might not be in a position to do whatever it is that you need done in your life. But do you disregard them? Do you overlook them? Are you oblivious to them? Or are you mindful of them? And embrace them and acknowledge and identify that they're human beings just like you.
Yeah.
Worthy of respect, worthy of decency, worthy of honor.
Yeah.
And so Jesus said, even though I'm the one, the greatest one here, I'm going to serve you. And so the point is, on our way to greatness. I'm on my way to greatness. How about you?
Yes,
on my way to greatness, to doing great things in the earth that God has called me to do. On your way to the great things that God has called you to do. I believe that God is saying unto us, don't get the big head. Right? Don't get carried away with yourself. Don't believe that now you got to start calling things and putting people in their place and all that. Do it the way Jesus did it. Let this mind be in you. I don't have entitlement. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. How many of you know that? It's a privilege to go to your job in the morning. How many of you know that? Because some people don't have a job. It's a privilege to be married to that man. I know he gets on your nerve, but I'm telling you, it's a privilege. It's a privilege for you to be raising those children. I know they get on your last nerve, but it's a privilege because you don't have to be in a position to do any of it.
That's right.
The word. So it's a privilege. It's not an entitlement. It's a privilege. Be like Jesus. I'm not entitled. I'm privileged. Amen. It was an honor. Amen. Right. I delight to do thy will, O Lord. Whatever the word the Lord wants us to do is not burdensome. The commandments of God are not grievous. Amen. Amen. They're not. It's a privilege. And so, as you are on your way to greatness,
Jesus.
No entitlement, right? No concern about position. I'm the lead in the choir. I should be singing.
Yeah, well,
choir director says somebody else singing today.
Oh,
and you should be singing. It's good. Don't be up there to, oh, magnify the Lord in me, and us exalted name. Because you don't have the lead today.
Mm-hmm.
You sing with the same enthusiasm. Christian, when they take you out the game, you go on the bench and you cheer just as well. Amen?
Amen.
Nope.
Not
yet.
Yes, him. Yes, he does. Amen. Yes, he does. But do you hear what God is saying? We have to have this mindset of, I'm going to do what I'm required to do, but even those things that I don't have to do, I'm going to do them anyway. Because that's the sign of my greatness. I'm not too high and mighty that I can't sweep a floor, that I can't clean a toilet, that I can't park a car, that I can't do certain things because of who I think I am. Amen. I take after my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to leave you with a couple of things. You know, God says, the Bible says that God resists the proud. But what does he do? He gives grace to the humble. Right? And then we're told, therefore, that we should humble ourselves under the hand of God, and he will lift us up. Peter says, humble yourself under the hand of God, and he will lift you up in due time. Right? But you got to humble yourself first. You can't get all, that's why God doesn't want us to get carried away, right? Don't get carried away. Yes, you're on your way to greatness. It's a balance that you have to achieve, right? See, one thing we can't do is thinking, oh, I'm just little old me, I'm just little old me. No, you are a child of the King.
Hallelujah.
With the Spirit of the true and living God dwelling on the inside of you. That makes you something, not because of you, but because who's on the inside of you. So you put your shoulders back, you stand flat-footed, you look at people without blinking, not because you're all that in the back of chips, but because your God is. And so you have that mentality, and at the same time, you have to have a mentality that I'll get on my knees to look for my wife's earring back that fell on the floor. How many times has that happened, babe? I come in the room. What are you doing? I'm looking for my earring back. Good luck. Amen. Or you got so many, why don't you do it? No, get on the floor. Look. Remember that time you couldn't find it for like a half an hour? And I came in there, I found a thing like that. You know why? Not because of me, but because God was honoring the fact that I would get on the floor and look for it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have to do that. Wasn't my earring. Yes, no, please understand. Because that's how we respond. It's not me. I don't have to do it. Yeah, I know you were in Kohl's the other day. You saw all those clothes on the floor. You didn't pick them up, even though the Spirit of God said, pick up those hangers. And I didn't put it down there. I don't work here. Do it anyway. That's where greatness is found. Wow. Greatness is not found in doing what's required. Greatness is found when you go the extra mile. Wow. Yeah. Jesus said, if you're required to go some more. So he exalts you in due time. Two scriptures I'll leave with you. Proverbs 15 and 33. It says, well, first let's go to Proverbs 16 and 18. You don't have to go there. I'll just read it to you. Proverbs 16 and 18. It says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. What is that saying? If we get caught up in ourselves and who we think we are, if we get caught up in our position, you know, how many of you have seen people who got ruined by promotion? You know what I'm saying? They became the office manager, and now they let it go to their head. Mm-hmm. Or they became the choir director, and they let it go to their head. Or, glory to God. God called them to the ministry, and now they think they act like they co-wrote the Bible. And when that stuff happens, then people fall, man. Because God resists the proud. He doesn't say he doesn't like them. He said he resists them. You know what that means, right? God is getting in your way. Anything you try to do, he's working against you if you're prideful. So it says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. When we get arrogant, when we become thinking that, you know, we're who we are, then we're certainly going to fall. But Proverbs 15 and 33 says, before honor is humility. So if we humble ourselves first, then God will honor us. Amen? God will lift you up. And that's why you don't have to worry about it, right? God will lift you up. Promotion comes not from the east or the west or the south, right? But it's God who raises up one and sets down another, right? Promotion comes from God. God's the one that's going to lift you up. God's the one that's going to bless you as you keep yourself, amen, in a certain place of humility and honor unto him. So as you are on your way to greatness, amen, as you are on your way to greatness, maintain the same spirit and the same heart that the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated. There were some things he didn't have to do. He did it anyway. Jesus didn't have to leave heaven. He did it anyway. He didn't have to go to the cross. He didn't have to step on the cross. He said to them, he said, well, why don't you come down from here? He said, you know what? I can call legions of angels right now to get me off of here. But he didn't. Right? But he didn't. He hung up there anyway. He went through it anyway. He took the scourging anyway, right? He paid the tax anyway. He got baptized anyway. How many things are you doing anyway? God is calling us to do things anyway. And I'm telling you, as we do that, we're going to demonstrate such a sweetness of spirit. But when you're humble and obedient, it's a sweetness to that that people will see, and they'll glorify God, and God will lift you up and magnify. Amen. How many of you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So listen, I'm on my way to greatness. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You ain't supposed to talk like that. I'm just saying what God says. Amen.
Amen.
People who know that God shall be strong and what? Do exploits. I know my God. Amen. You know your God.
Amen.
And you're strong and you're on your way to greatness.
My God.
And on your way to greatness, maintain that humble spirit. Amen. And understand, do those things that God is calling on you to do, the things that you have to do, but also do some things that you don't have to do. Amen.
Amen.
But young people, you can do the same thing. Amen. You don't got to clean up your sister's room. Clean up your sister's room anyway. Oh, I feel just chilly. That one is a lot. Clean up your brother's room anyway. I'm not doing that. But watch it. If you clean up your brother's room anyway, God will, I'm telling you, God will move in your life and do something for you. Amen.
Glory.
Amen. Pick up your husband's stuff anyway. Let's stand and pray for somebody getting trouble. Let's stand our feet and pray today. Glory to God. Amen. Right here, I pray you hear God calling you. Amen. And just know that God has something great for you to do. But in doing it and achieving it, it's got to be done with a certain spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray today. Father, we bless your name out of heaven. We thank you, God, for the word you've spoken into our hearts. Father, we thank you first and foremost, oh God, that you have called us to do great things in the earth. Your word declares that they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Father God, we count ourselves in the number. We count ourselves as strong on the authority of your word. We count ourselves, oh God, as those who shall go forward and do great things in the earth, do exploits, and will do it all in your great name. And Father, we bless you for it in the name of Jesus, because we know it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your spirit. And it's by your spirit, God, that we are filled with the power of God. We are strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. But Father, as we go forward, let us go forward with the mind of Christ.
Yes.
Father, you said, let this mind be in you, a mind of meekness, a mind of humility, a mind of obedience, of doing things even though we don't have to do them. Because God, that is where we demonstrate the heart of a servant. Jesus said that even though he's the greatest, he yet came to serve. And so, Father, we thank you for the example. We thank you, oh God, that we shall not get lifted up in pride, that God, that we shall not develop a haughty spirit, but Father, we will maintain a spirit of humble obedience unto you. And Father, we believe that as we do that, you shall exalt us, you shall promote us, you shall raise us up, you shall shine down upon us in due time. And so, Father, we bless you, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that we are filled right now with your word and with your spirit that says, do it anyway. That, Father, there's some things that we're not going to have to do, we're not obligated to do on today, but we're going to do it anyway. When we go to work tomorrow, God, there's some things that we're not going to have to do, but we're going to do it anyway. Father God, we're coming down the roadway. We have the right of way. Somebody's trying to come out of the wah-wah. They need to wait for us, but we're going to wait for them anyway. Father God, we're going to do it anyway. Because we believe, oh God, that as we humble ourselves, God, that you will release a grace in our lives that will lift us up to a place that we could never get to in our own strength. And so, Father, we bless you for it. We thank you, oh God. Hallelujah. That we are your humble servants. We are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture. And you are leading us in the paths of righteousness. So, Father God, we obediently follow you. Let your will be done on heaven as it's done up in earth. And, Father, we thank you. We bless you. We praise you for the word of transformation that you have spoken unto us today. To you we give all praise. To you we give all honor. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.